Now, Christmas is done. That means your tree has been taken down, right? No. Oh, okay. You know that's why there is a holiday yesterday, is to take your tree down. It's a national holiday to take your tree down, take your lights down, put those things away. Since you have all done that, and you're looking forward to the next thing, right? What are you looking forward to? What are you planning? What are your goals? What goals do you have for 2022? What's on your to-do list? Maybe you're looking forward tomorrow to going into the office and putting up your new 2022 calendar on the wall and writing in all your vacation dates, where you're going, what you're doing, how long you're going to be there. Okay? Maybe that's something you're looking forward to. Or maybe you're looking forward to, in just a little over a month, the Olympics, the Winter Olympics happening in Beijing. And my favorite sport I know you're going to watch is curling. You guys laugh. You realize that anybody can curl. You don't have to be a superhuman. This guy looks like he could be, you know, on a construction site. That's why I love curling, because
it's
they don't
taking pictures, isn't it?
What's that?
It's like taking pictures.
No, there's skill involved. But anybody can do it. I'll be glad to teach you. You can learn that just like you can learn to do curling. Like me, curling, I know you're going to watch it. Some of you are looking forward to other things, like graduation. You're graduating or someone in your family is graduating. And some of you I know are already counting down till next Christmas. Okay? And if I did the math right, there's 357 days from today till next Christmas. But you got to do something in between. What are you going to do? And it can't be just planned for Christmas. And since Christmas is over, our Christmas series is over, some of you, maybe one or two of you, wondering, are we going to finish the season in the minors? Yes. Starting next week, we're going to pick up and finish that. And then some of you are, much less of you are wondering, what are we going to do after that? I'm probably the only one who cares about that, but I have been thinking about where we're going. But at this time of year, many people don't think about those things. Many people, including you, may be thinking about what Mary emailed us about this week several times. New Year's resolutions. And she mentioned some of the most common ones people make. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to become healthy. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to exercise. People look at New Year's Day or a new year as a new beginning, starting fresh, having a blank slate. What could be different in 1 year? What could be different in 365 days? And even though Mary didn't know what I was speaking about this Sunday, she asked in one of her emails the following questions. If a Christian were to make New Year's resolutions, what kind would they make? This is a great question. Spiritual resolutions. And we should not only consider this question, we should answer it. But Mary also went on to give us some good advice. She said this: our New Year's resolutions, implying as Christians, should weigh heavier on the side of our spiritual health than our physical health. Now, but there's a problem. There's a reality, right? How many of you have made resolutions, but you know the truth? Very few of us make it much past January, let alone February, March, and a whole year. There are many reasons we can say. There's many reasons for that, but if we're honest, a lot of our reasons, I'll put that in quotes, are excuses. You know, they're not really reasons, they're excuses why I didn't do what I said I was going to do. So I want to actually suggest this year, don't. Just don't. Don't make New Year's resolutions. We shouldn't make them. Not so, well, I didn't make them so I didn't fail, or that they're not worth making, or they're not worthwhile. Or even more so, I don't believe that they're unbiblical in any way. But don't make resolutions. Rather than make resolutions, our goal should be to make habits. Now, we often think of habits as a bad thing. We try to break bad habits. But that's not what a habit is. So let's define a habit. A habit, according to the dictionary, is a recurring, often unconscious pattern of behavior acquired through frequent repetition. Okay, so there are good habits and there are bad habits. So what is a habit? What does one look like? Well, here's a simple one. When your phone rings, cellular, or even if you have an old school landline, what do? You pick it up and you answer it. Or you get a message. You look at it and say, what's the message? What's the email? We check it. We don't ignore it. Did someone say, you have to go answer the phone? Do you have to check your messages? Why do we do it? It's a habit. Now, it can be a good habit or a bad habit. And consider that God designed us this way. God designed us and our bodies to do many things automatically without even thinking about it. All right, so let's a little more practical example than our phones, because some of you are too young to have a phone or don't want a cell phone. I understand all that. Think about walking. Guys, I forgot to tell you, I'm going to move, so I'm going to mess you up with the camera angle. But so we teach our kids to walk, right? But now, once you learn to walk, you don't have to think about right leg up, right leg down, left leg up. You don't do that. You just, it's a habit. You have learned, I do this, and I do it automatically. In fact, we don't even think about where we're going. If I want to go to the kitchen or to the bathroom, I just get up and go. I don't have to think, well, I have to go to the third door on the left and go in there, that's the bathroom. No, we just do it. It's a habit. I get up, I make the correct turns, my legs work. I understand that there's sometimes you have physical limitations, but we don't have to physically think about picking up our leg and walking. It's a habit. So how do we form habits? How do we form them? Either sometimes it's unconscious, sometimes it's consciously we form them. To form a habit, there's a thing called a habit loop. Three things: a routine, a reward, and a cue. The cue, we unconsciously or consciously follow these steps, cue, routine, and reward, and we repeat often, and we form a habit. So let's do something that has to do with walking or cell phones. We'll talk about brushing our teeth, okay? Brushing our teeth before bed. The cue is I'm getting ready for bed, so therefore I should brush my teeth. Okay? The brain says you're getting ready for bed, brush your teeth. Okay? That's the routine. Cue is bedtime. The brain says brush your teeth. That's the routine. And then there's a reward. Your mouth is fresh and clean. That's short-term reward. If you're consistent in this habit, there's a long-term reward that when you go to the dentist, they give you a pat on the back and say, we don't have to drill holes in you and fill it up. And that no one likes that, okay? Now, if you forget to brush your teeth and you're laying in bed, what happens? Oh yeah, I forgot. You're reminded. Your brain sends you a signal that something's wrong. That routine hasn't happened. Because habits satisfy a neurological craving for our brains to look forward to the sense of, I did that and I got the reward. The fulfillment that comes with the routine. So now that we all understand habits a little better, what goals should we have for habits in 2002? What habits should we develop in 2022? I'm going to make some suggestions this morning, but it all comes down to one singular issue. The same issue, the same underlying issue and purpose, which is about building character. Who do you want to be, or who do you want to become? What person do you want to become in 2022, excuse me. What kind of character do you want to have at the end of this year? What do you want to be different? How do you want to change and grow in 2022? And it all comes down to action, because as F. Scott Fitzgerald said, action is character. And building on his explanation, I'm going to give you a statement that I couldn't figure out who said first. So lots of people have claimed or have been given credit for the statement, but regardless who it is, it's true and it's relevant. You are what you repeatedly do. You are what you repeatedly do. To know who we are, to know what our character is like, we need to ask, what do we repeatedly do? What are our habits? And this morning, we're going to talk about building our character in 2022 by developing habits. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 9. If you don't have a copy of God's Word with you, I invite you to pull out one of the brown covered books from under one of the chairs in front of you, and it will be on page 663. But we're going to be right at the end, the last few verses of Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 56 going to 62. But I'm going to set the stage, because there's a lot of things that go on in the beginning of the chapter. Right before Jesus is going to talk at the end of the chapter, he has walked away from a Samaritan village who has rejected him. And if you know the story, James and John come up to Jesus and say, do you want us to call down fire on them and destroy them? Okay? And he says no. But then as he's walking away, the disciples there, there appears to be other people following him, which is one of the things that happen often. So they're walking along, and all these people are following Jesus, and there's conversations going on. So we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 9, right at the end. Verse 56. For the Son of Man... Oh, that's not it. That is not the right verse. Let's try 57. Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So as we look at this, what we're going to pull out of this section of scriptures, three habits that we should develop in 2022. Three habits to develop in 2022. So let's pause and ask God to speak to us to listen and respond this morning. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the time of worship to begin the new year. We thank you for the privilege of celebrating your birth just a few days ago, all in all that means. We thank you for the gift of life in a new year. Lord, we look forward, and after hearing from your word this morning, we want to set goals to build habits. But we also know that you have things planned for us to help us grow. We ask that we would be listening to you and your word. We would be willing not only to listen, but to say, I need to do what you say. I need to respond. I need to change because of what your word says. That would be our standard, our barometer of how we conduct ourselves every day this year. Lord, as we open up your word this morning, we see the questions you were asked and the questions you asked of others in this short passage. May we hear you speak this morning. May we hear you speak, may we listen, and may we be willing to admit where we need to change, where we need to grow. Lord, use me this morning. Use the tools and instruments around us with the technology and the sound, not so that people can hear me, but so that they can hear you and that they can respond. We thank you for the privilege of beginning the new year here, fellowshipping, worshiping, and looking to hear from you and to grow. May you be pleased with what's said and done this morning. In these few moments when we have your word open, may we handle it well and may we respond to it, not listen and reject. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. So three habits to develop in 2022. The first habit is make it a habit to keep your word. Make it a habit to keep your word. Look back at verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. So we don't know how this happened, but this is how I picture it. They're walking down the road. There's a bunch of people. The disciples are closest to Jesus, and then there's other people surrounding him. And there's some guy way in the back, or person. It could be, we don't know. It could be a male or female. Somebody way in the back, he can't get up to talk to Jesus. So he's frustrated. And so finally he either works up the courage, or one of his buddies says to him, I dare you, I dare you. So what does he do? He yells, hey, Jesus. Well, he didn't say, hey, Jesus. He says, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. So he yells it from the back. Now, I don't know what he was thinking when he said this or what he meant, but here's what they communicated. And they communicated it loudly, clearly, and in front of everyone. Jesus, I will follow you. No strings attached. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you ask. Doesn't matter what you want me to do. It doesn't matter what you require or expect of me. It doesn't matter what you tell me. I am in. I'm not just in. I'm all in. Okay? So this is what happens. If Jesus, we don't know what Jesus did. We only know what he said. So I think Jesus stops. Everybody stops. And he turns around and to this individual and says the following. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus says, making that commitment will cost you something. Saying yes to me, saying yes to Jesus means saying no to other things. Saying yes to Jesus means saying no to other things. So why does Jesus talk about not having a home, foxes have holes, or places to stay? Does this mean that if I follow Jesus, I gotta live in a shack somewhere? I gotta be homeless? No, I don't believe that's what Jesus is saying. I believe he's speaking to this person's heart. This is what they will find it hardest to do. They said, I'll do whatever you want. And he says, this is what you are gonna struggle to do. This is what you will want to put ahead of me. This is what you will want to put ahead of everything and anything. Rather than keeping your promise that you're all in, you're going to struggle with this. Rather than being all in, this is going to become an idol, something that you're going to have to fight because it's going to get ahead of me, ahead of Jesus. For this person, it appears to be a home, the safety and security they have from having a home, being at home. Now, that may mean nothing to you. You guys know our story that we have moved so many times that we have, home is not a place. It is where we are together as a family. And I know that people talk about this, but think about if you've been in your home 50 or 60 years, or even if that's the only home you've ever known, it's hard to leave. But for you, it may not be that. It may be money. It may be family. It may be a job. It may be possessions. It may be power. It may be something else. Is this an area where we have developed bad habits? Where we have developed the habit of saying yes to something else or to someone else or simply to ourselves. Saying yes to our wants and our desires before, ahead of, and rather than saying yes to Jesus. Instead of saying yes to his word, we say yes to ourselves or something else. Is keeping our word a habit we need to develop or improve on in 2022? We should have or develop the habit of keeping our word to God and to others as well. That's the first one. Make it a habit to put God first. Make it a habit to put God first. Verse 59. Then he said to another, follow me. So the next person doesn't get an option to stand up and say anything. Jesus turns to this person and says, follow me. They don't get a chance to volunteer. He recruits them and says, follow me. Here's their response in the second half of that verse. But he, the man, said, Lord, let me go and bury my father. So he says, okay, Lord, I'm good, but let me do this thing. We hear this and say, well, his father just died. Well, let's be clear. If his father just died and was waiting to bury it in that culture, he wouldn't be there. Okay? He's not just saying, okay, I got a funeral on Friday, and I'm all in, Lord. I'm ready to be there. He's not just waiting to say, well, I got to sign the papers with the lawyer. The person is saying, my father is alive. Once he is dead, and I have no idea when that's going to be, once he's dead and buried and his estate settled, then I'll be ready and willing to follow you, or at least think about following you. He says, not now, later, when it's better for me, when I think the time is right, when I've done everything I want to do, when my plans are completed, all my to-do list is checked off, when my goals are accomplished, then I'll be willing to follow you, or at least I'll give it some more serious thought. So that's the context. That's what he tells Jesus, but not in that many words. Here's Jesus' response. Verses 59 and 60. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Jesus said to him, your priorities are wrong. Your priorities are wrong. God, his kingdom, God and the gospel, God and what his word says, that is what is to be most important in your life. It's not even your family comes first, but God comes first. What he wants and what he says. So as part of developing this habit, we need to ask the following question regularly, consistently, often, and repeatedly. I can't put enough synonyms in there. Answer this question, a question you've heard from me and will continue to hear from me as long as I am here. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Ask it and answer it. About everything and anything in your life, what does the Bible say? Have we developed bad habits in this area? Is it not what does the Bible say? Is, and our priority list goes this way, God first, others second, me third. This is the biblical priority list. But is our priority list me, myself, and I first, and everyone and everyone, everything and everyone else, including God, second? Do we think, nah, it doesn't matter later? Doesn't matter, God says later. I don't really care what God says is important. All I care about is what I think and what I say is important. I don't care what God wants. I care what I want. Me, myself, and I. When is the last time you asked, what does the Bible say? Not just ask that in a theoretical or educational situation where you're studying and say, what does the Bible say about this subject? But what does the Bible say about where I am in my life and what I'm thinking, what I'm about to do? When's the last time you not just asked that question, but you answered it? What does the Bible say? And then you said, here's what it says. Here's my priorities. Here's my thinking, my actions. And I looked at the two, and I said, fine or wrong? This is what the Bible says. And then I decided, I'm going to do what the Bible says. Is asking this question, what does the Bible say? Is putting God and His Word and what He says first a habit we need to develop or improve on or grow in 2022? We should have or develop the habit of keeping our word, putting God first, and focus, make it a habit to focus on the goal. Luke chapter 9, verse 61. And another said to him, talking about speaking to Jesus, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are in my house. Like the first person, the third guy tries to step up and volunteer and say, I'm ready to go, Lord, but I want to go home and say goodbye. I want to go home and say goodbye to my family. Like the person who wanted to bury their father, we hear this and think, well, that's a nice thing to do. They're going to go home. They're going to say goodbye. But Jesus' response tells us that's not what they're communicating. That's not what's in their heart. Look at verse 62. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So you're talking about someone who wants to say, yes, I'm going to go, but then is going to be distracted. I'm not a farmer, never been a farmer. I know lots about animals, but not about farming. But I do know that this does not look like a normal field. Okay, if you mow your lawn or you plow, you understand this is not right. It should be straight. The rows should be straight. This is what happens when you're not looking at the goal. Whether you're mowing, whether you're plowing, but you're looking at something else or something behind you. You're not looking forward to the goal. Now, you may have experienced this reality teaching someone to drive or when you are driving. If the person driving the car is not paying attention to where they're going, where does the car go? It goes where they're looking. It goes into the other lane or it goes off the road. Okay, we all understand that. The car drifts. It goes where you're looking. So if you're not looking in the right direction, the car isn't going to go in the right direction. The language in verse 62 is clear. This person says, I'm going in this direction, but then they're distracted. They're distracted. They agreed, I'm going to go, I'm going to plow, as Jesus used the illustration. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. But now they're actively saying, oh, look what's over there. Oh, look what's over there. Like Lot's wife, they're looking in a different direction, or they're looking back with the desire to say, I like that, I want that. They're not focused on the goal. They're focused on other things, what they've left behind. Paul said it this way. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward, focus on the things which are ahead, pressing towards the goal. Writer of Hebrews says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run the race with endurance that is set before us. We look at this and say, well, we've got to set aside sin. But he says, let us lay aside the weight and the sin. The distractions, the wrong priorities, not focusing on the goal, getting off into the wrong lane, into the ditch. He says, set those aside. In 2 Timothy, Paul reminds Timothy, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Entangled, don't get tied up, don't get caught up. Don't get involved in something that's going to pull you away from your goal. Don't be getting involved in things that makes us lose our focus or gets us distracted. And we've briefly looked at three habits this morning keeping your word, putting God first, focusing on the goal, all bound up in the truth that we are what we repeatedly do. Which brings us back to our habit loop. We are what we repeatedly do. What routines do you have? Not routines for brushing your teeth, okay? But what spiritual routines do you have? What spiritual habits do we have? So let's go through of a few of them. There's lots more we could add, but I picked out some. Do we have a Bible reading routine? Do we have a Bible reading habit? Okay. When do you perform your habit? What time of day? Where? When do you do it? Where do you do it? How? Okay. A place, a time. Now, what do you read? Do you have a Bible reading plan for 2022? If you have one, great. What is it? Have you started it? Are you already a day behind? Okay? If you don't have a Bible reading plan, find one and start one. And you know what? Here's the easiest one I've ever found. Start and read Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. 5 days a week. Got two extra days to catch up. Start in Matthew chapter 1. You read one chapter a day, 5 days a week. By the end of 2022, you will have read the entire New Testament. Okay? Start with Matthew. Begin to develop a habit. Then go to Mark. Build on the habit. Then through the entire New Testament. Okay? Part of your routine should be, before you read, say, God, I know this is your word. I want to hear from you. Speak to me through your word. While you read, listen. Write down what he says to you, what he shows you, what he emphasizes, or questions you have. Okay. Now, okay, Pastor Brian, I've been reading through the Bible every year longer than you've been alive, since my daughter said I turned 51 this year. She was nice enough to put that on social media. For 53 years, I've been reading through the entire Bible every year. Outstanding. I wish I was you, but I'm not. So what else can I do, Pastor Brian? Read ahead for Sunday school. If you're in my class, we're in John 17. Brian Morgan talked about he's going to be in Isaiah 9 and John 1. So if you're in his class, read ahead. You can read ahead for the sermon. Next week, we will be in Zechariah chapter 6, verse 9, probably going all the way through chapter 8. Evening service tonight will be in Proverbs chapter 6, the end of it. Small group, Bible study, read ahead. Do we need to start a Bible reading routine? Or do we need to grow the one we have? And by the way, if you don't think this is important, Tim Keller has a great quote. He says, if Jesus didn't think he could handle life without knowing the scripture inside and out, what makes you think you can? Okay? Jesus knew his Bible. And if he was needed to know it, we need to know it. Bible reading routine. Do you have a prayer routine? What time, when you pray, what time of day, where do you pray? Okay? If you don't, start one. After you do your Bible reading, spend 1 minute in prayer. Pastor Brian, that is really a small amount. I know, but build the habit. If you think it's too short, go for two or three, okay? Develop the habit. Go for a month, go for 6 weeks, then add another minute. You get the idea. When you pray, we are to be thanking and praising God for who he is, his blessings to us and our families, what he just showed you in his word, for things you need or you're concerned about, and then for the needs of other people in your lives. Do you have a prayer routine? Do you need to start one or grow the one you have? Fellowship routine. Do you have one? Where, when, and how do you fellowship with other people? Does your routine involve regularly being here on Sunday morning? Regular being Sunday school, evening service, small group, quilting. Here's some other options, some that are new. Walking and exercise. You can go and fellowship with other believers. Men's breakfast, we talked about that. You can come and fellowship and hear God's word. Fifth Sunday fellowship, you can come and fellowship. Ladies' Bible study. Small groups. Small groups have not restarted. We took a break for Christmas. You can get involved, even if it's you're in the middle of something. They will love to have you there. We would love to have you there. Do we need to start a fellowship routine? Or do we need to grow the one we have? Do you have a service or serving routine? Where do you serve? When do you serve? How do you serve? Do you serve in the nursery or in children's church? You can sign up to do that today. Do you serve in Awana? If you're not, you can talk to Lee and Josh or one of the other leaders and say, yes, I want to serve. They would love to have you. Walking and exercise is a service. Wait a second. You said it was fellowship, Pastor Brian. Okay. What did I tell you? Like, I don't know how many long was ago. Whenever I did the announcements, it's open to the community. You can then serve the community by getting to know them and seeing how we can serve them better as individuals and as a church. So it is both fellowship and serving combined. A lot of them are. The blessing box out front, you can serve and fill that blessing box once a week, twice a week. Talk to my wife, and you can just help with that. Clothing outreach. So if you haven't been downstairs, I invite you to go downstairs. The room that is under the annex is no longer looking like anything you've ever seen. There are racks all over the place. We are turning that into a full-time clothing giveaway room to serve our community, to bless our community. Well, guess what that means? That means we're going to have it open more than once or twice a year. That means we're going to have to sort clothing, hang clothing, and in fact, they're doing that this week. You can serve there. Talk to Shanine. Men's breakfast, see, another fellowship and service. You can come and set up. You can come and tear down. You can help cook, only if you know what you're doing, because I like good food. But if you don't know how to cook, you can do something else. But you can serve. Ladies' Bible study. There are ladies leading this, but I'm sure that they would love you to come alongside and help. I shouldn't say I'm sure. I know they would. You can even lead a lesson. Ooh, there's a push the boundaries there. You could lead a lesson, okay? Facilitate, because I know it's a video-based series. Fifth Sunday Fellowship. You can set up, you can serve, you can clean up from that. Let's go beyond inside this building. Old Home Days. I was informed that there will be, right, as of right now, July 30th is going to be Old Home Days, and Lord willing, we will be there. Okay? Are you going to serve in that? Trunk or Treat. October 31st is a Monday. Start thinking about your car now, not October 29th. Okay? But you can serve in all these, and there's more. Do we need to start a service routine? Do we have one? Do we need to grow the one we have? Maybe you're thinking, well, Pastor Brian, I'd like to do this, fill in the blank. Let's talk and see whether we can do that. I want to start something new. Let's see if we can do that. What goals, what spiritual goals do you have for 2022? Have you set any? The better question is, what habit, what routine do you need to start in 2022? Or what one do you need to grow and develop in order to accomplish the goals? Not just for 2022, a habit that goes years beyond. Okay, little word of caution, don't pick like all of them at once. Okay, pick one. Start the habit, develop that habit, two or three months, maybe 1 or 2 months, and then say, this is the time I start the next one. This is the time I start the next one. Make one habit, get it a habit, go from there, because we are what we repeatedly do. And as John Lubbock said, your character will be what you yourself choose to make it. What will your character be like in 364 days? At the end of 2022, what will your character be like? What habits will you have developed? What new spiritual habits will you have developed or grown? What will you be like because of the choices you have made, the habits you have developed? 365 days from now, 364 days from now, how will you have grown because of what you have chosen to do repeatedly? The habits you developed, what you have intentionally chosen to do in order to grow. What are your spiritual goals for 2022? What spiritual habits are you going to say, I want to develop that in 2022. Let's pray. Father, we know that you've given us a new year to reset our thinking. Even in your calendar that you gave to your people way back in the Old Testament, there was a new year. It was a celebration of what you've done in the past, but also looking forward. Lord, we look forward with excitement and anticipation of what you're going to do for us, going to do with us individually and as a church. May we be willing to consider what we do repeatedly and choose wisely things that are in line with your word, that are answers to the question, what does your word say? And we're responding to that. Lord, help us to develop not just goals, not just resolutions, but habits, spiritual habits that continue to help us grow year after year. Maybe this be the year that we do that. We thank you for giving us another year, another opportunity to respond to your word, another opportunity to grow, another opportunity to be used by you. As we turn our thoughts and our hearts to communion, may we continually be amazed, never lose the wonder and the amazement and the awe of what you did for us in spite of who we are. And we thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen.